Huh.
That's loud.
Okay.
Oh.
Welcome to the podcast for empathy and imagination. My name is Aubrey.
And my name is Drew Clark. Thank you for taking your time to come check out the show. We are so happy to have you here. Thank you.
Crack a beer.
Crack time to crack your beers, ladies and gentlemen. Pack your pipes if you choose.
Share your truths.
Yeah, share your truths.
Check us out on
YouTube.
Check us out on Patreon.
iTunes.
And empathyandimagination.com. This is the program where we share our truths with each other and you and our guests. Thanks for joining us. Thank you, Apple, for making television possible. Thank you, Microsoft, for building cars. And thank you, Amazon, for killing trees. Cheers. Good to see everybody. So let's check in.
Yeah, let's do a check in.
Can't see myself on that camera, but that's cool.
But there you are. Here he is.
So how you doing?
Oh man. So let's check in.
We had a week off. We did that Mizcast, but it didn't really pan out.
It didn't work out.
Well, I just had my audio. I didn't have your audio.
Well, then I guess that gives us some more opportunities to maybe do a free speech afterthought.
Yes, indeed.
So that's the topic. So how am I doing? Okay, so everyone knows I'm getting married and there's like a bunch of planning. So that's like kind of a daily thing that's going on. Definitely had some upset feelings and challenges as far as like, obviously money crap, it's like, I'm sort of exhausted with talking about it.
Money.
Yeah, money, but
money woes.
Money woes, money challenges.
Yeah, it does kind of suck.
You know, I work a lot. I work super hard. I'm in pain every time after I work. And it's still not enough to live. So that has me feeling certain things.
How's the eye thing?
You know, it's still visible if I close my good eye.
But it's less than it was?
And then, kind of just do this. It's less than it was. It's definitely decreasing as far as its potency. I've had way more major stressors. Like, as time went on, I tried to, gradient update. Everyone knows that I started an LLC for that. Some news comes in that the state wants $800 minimum of tax money that I earned from gradient for having created the LLC.
What?
Yeah. Can you make that face one more time?
So just because you created the LLC, they want to pinch the money from you.
Right. So they're like, okay, clearly you are rich and have a company.
Right.
And it's time for you to pay because you're rich and have a company. And I'm like, we never even opened. There was never an actual address. It never occurred. So what money to pay you with, I'm not sure what that is.
Do you think you started the LLC prematurely, or did you have to start it in order to get all the permit and all the other stuff?
Where we were when we were at the time, it really seemed like that's what we needed to do.
It seemed like it was going to happen.
Yeah.
Remember that? Remember those days?
Mm-hmm.
Shit.
Gradient update.
Anyone who's interested, we have it. It's on tape, so you can check it out. But,
Yeah.
Why is it so hard to start a small business now in America?
It's really hard. Maybe it's harder where we are in the Bay Area. That could be a thing. So I found a way to send in a form that I have blah, 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 all the steps to prove I didn't make any money and shouldn't have to pay taxes on money I didn't make. So we fought that dragon, and then there's like the legal battle that's going on that's just getting delayed more and more. There's like, squirmy words of people involved and sort of what's all going on and all that. And So there's been some more stresses. You know, talk about my eye. I've had more sort of scary, life-threatening, I mean, economically life-threatening moments. And on the other hand, there's been some interesting developments.
What's the yang to this?
The yang is, which leads me into a topic after this, is that Hopsy, one of my jobs, has asked me to craft a letter describing skills and talents I have to see if we can find something more useful of my skills.
Like create your own job position?
Kind of.
That's, you know, that's not an opportunity that comes around a lot. So
right. So I feel very lucky to have the opportunity. Who knows what'll happen? And I've already sent it off. And today I'll be reading to the audience what I sent.
Cool.
Yeah. So how else I'm doing is generally afraid financially, excited about being married, hopeful about what to do. And I'm open about what it might mean if I need to move somewhere else, or if I can't afford to stay where I'm living, or I feel flexible.
Why would you move? Just for lower rent, or for just other whatever?
Lower rent. To not be spending.
Like a big move to another.
Recent noise that my partner was making, she was like, what about Napa County?
Right.
She's like, what about Napa County? Yeah, what if we could get something over there?
Not a lot of rich people up there.
Well, there's a lot of rich people, and maybe we could service those rich people, right?
Right.
But not necessarily have to pay.
Start your own hot tub business.
Exactly. Exactly. Clark Waterworks. So, go ahead. So, yeah. So I guess that's my update, and cool. I'm curious about your update and how you're doing, how you're feeling, what's going on there.
Feeling pretty good. I'm not sure this camera angle works the best, but it is what it is.
Well, we can make adjustments if need be.
Doing pretty good. Same old, usually. Oh, I wanted to talk about, maybe we could use our imagination or empathy to address something that really sucks.
Okay.
And that is Guitar Center. You know this place?
Oh, man, I try not to go there.
You know this fucking place? Guitar Center, if you're listening.
The whole commission
skate or go
thing.
Home. You know, skate or go home, Guitar Center. I was in there last night and, you know, just sauntering in, looking for some cables. I'm a simple man with simple needs. Just looking for my interface and my cables. You know, bing, bang, boom, get it and get out, right?
Yeah.
Nope. So I go in there. It's like 8 p.m. They're open till 9. I go in there. There's like 50 people working.
Yeah,
and
what's up with that?
And there's like two customers who are waiting for people to help them.
No way.
Like sitting at the counter with stuff on the counter waiting.
With like more than a dozen employees running around.
Yeah, I mean, it's an exaggeration. But yeah, there's like, you know, it's probably like 8 to 10 employees walking around.
Dude.
And everyone's like chatting. Everyone's like shooting the shit. The customer, you know, I go back to like the drum area. The guy, the drum sales associate, whatever they're fucking called, is on the drums, playing the drums.
That's about right. Yeah.
Then you go back to like pro audio or whatever. And the guy working there is just chatting with some customer. Everyone's chatting. Everyone's got like infinite questions about the stuff that they're purchasing. At 8:30 p.m.
Okay.
Half an hour before close.
Yeah.
And it's just like, what? I'm just thinking to myself, what's going on? Like, it's Dilly Dally Center. It's not Guitar Center. It's Waste of Time Center. Because I just went in there, knew what I wanted, picked it out, and then I'm just sitting there waiting for other people to be helped and the sales guys to be free. It was just absurd, man. And you know, of course, there's like someone trying out a guitar doing his best licks
of Stairway to Heaven, basically.
Stairway to Heaven or whatnot. And man, it was just
might be Metallica.
Really unpleasant. Yeah, it was like Metallica or Stairway, you know.
Those are high probabilities.
Zep is difficult, so no one does Zep anymore. They do stuff that sounds difficult, but isn't, like Metallica.
Yeah.
Not early Metallica. That's actually hard. So, yeah, it's just like pockets of salesmen chit-chatting with customers who are very confused. And, man, just really off-putting experience.
What were your feelings?
I mean, you've been there, right?
Oh, I can add to it. I'm curious about what your feelings were in that state.
I guess I felt impatient. I felt like, okay, like I know what I want. I'm ready to go, and let's do this. I'm sort of standing around looking, making eye contact with all the sales people that go by, and I'm sitting there at the counter like, yeah, I'm ready. Let's do it. And yeah, it was just like everyone was on another planet or something. I don't know. Anyway, it's fucking.
Wow.
I mean, we you and I we jammed there in the studios.
Yeah,
in Guitar Center Studios. Yeah. That was fun. That was cool. That was like seamless, no issues. But man, if, like, just going in there just sucks.
The whole commission
and
thing.
And I can't imagine. Yeah, I heard that they get I think 2%.
And you could tell they're hungry because they have that greasy look, and you feel it. I feel it.
But it's like, if you're so hungry, then help me out. Check me out. Let me, you know, I'm ready. I got
my money.
I paid cash. I have cash in my hand. Fuck. So I can't. And that was like, it was slow. So when it's busy, I can only imagine that it's a total shit show in there.
Oh, dude.
And I've been in there when it's busy, but I don't think I bought anything. I just sort of looked around. You look around, you find something you like, take note of it, and then you go online and buy it. That's the new paradigm, right?
Yeah. It's often cheaper, and they don't get their commish. And you could tell that they're like, oh, if you go into one apartment and then you try to go to another apartment, they say, here, can you – they write down their number and go, here, can you hand this to them? So if you pay for this cable in the drum department, then I get the commish.
The commission thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're just – it's exhausting.
You know, I do the – go into a store, try something out, and buy it online. I do that, but I don't do that with books. I'll just buy it in the bookstore.
Because you want to support a bookstore.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm doing my tiny part for bookstores.
Like Half Price Books or Borders or whatever.
Yeah. I think it was Seinfeld who said that the fact that there are still bookstores is a sign that there's still smart people in the world, which I think is true.
Okay.
So Guitar Center totally blows. How can we use our imagination to, well, let me just play this. Let's do this.
Use your imagination.
Oh, that was loud. Okay. Let's
awesome.
Use our imagination. How can we make, like, what's the best setup for a music store? Like, what would be a good setup?
Oh, okay. A music store.
Or like a solution opportunity.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
For a music store. Would it just be millions of guitars? They're all new and there's millions of sales associates walking around. That doesn't seem to work that well.
Yeah. Because I'm going to come in there and I'm going to play with a guitar and it's going to get a little weird. And then someone else is going to touch it and it's going to get even weirder. And then.
Mm-hmm.
So. Do we want to have the instruments like all out of tune and wonky and stuff and like laying around weird places? Probably want it like a custodian, right?
Yeah, like someone who brings the guitars out to you or maybe like they like check that it's in working order and then
Check that it's in working order.
Yeah.
What if we can combine other ideas and go like, what if you didn't have to own or purchase what you're getting, but instead
right.
It's more like the tool share of instrumentation.
Like a library.
And then everyone sort of contributes to help pay for the upkeep of all of the instrumentation.
Your library card fees.
Yeah.
You know, $20 a year. Whatever.
That's really great.
I mean, it would be interesting to see how much of your taxes go towards libraries
I don't know.
Because that's why libraries are free, because your tax money is funding them. But let's say if it was, $5 a month or something. I don't know, $60 a year. I'd do that.
Hell yeah.
To be able to go in there, get an interface, like try it out. Oh, it doesn't work. Bring it back. There's an honor system there. But if you could somehow, I mean, same thing with the library. It's an honor system. People steal books and shit. But it seems like there's a solution opportunity there. There's an opportunity to make it better, like a lending library. Because some things, I mean, there's so much excess, like, crap that musicians have, right?
Oh, tons. Just look around in here.
Yeah, think about all the like, extra cables, speakers, and...
Just look at... What is this?
Feel free to...
Look at this. I mean, what even is all this?
And, like, sometimes you just use something once...
Yeah.
Or you just want to try it out. Or...
Yeah, it might work for your computer at home. It might not. I mean, how many things you buy, they're supposed to work, and then you have to download the thing and clip the thing, shave the...
Yeah. Or even, like, you're recording a song, and you want to use a hollow body, electric Gretsch. Mm-hmm. You just go to the lending library, use it. Yeah. Or you could even put it on hold, like you can books at the library.
Mm.
Put it on hold online. Once it's available, you get a little notification. You go pick it up, blah, blah, blah. And maybe there's some, like, rental car-ish.
Like delivery something associated?
Yeah, or, like you make note of what's, if it's chipped or scratched stuff like that.
Okay, and yeah. Maybe take a photo.
Insurance.
Yeah.
Something. All guitars have little Bluetooth tiles in them, so they're trackable, GPS, ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. So
that sounds way better than Guitar Center.
Yeah. The thing, and, it's kind of weird that I'm advocating for that, because I do like the concept of browsing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like video stores?
Yeah. You used to.
Remember?
I remember.
Remember those?
You'd be like, okay, let's go check out the store, browse what movies might be fun, and we'll bring them home.
Right. Yeah, I don't know what I want to watch. We go to the store, and then your girlfriend's like, I don't know. And you're like, make a decision.
Yeah, no, and you fight over it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
We need more fighting over browsing. So I do like the concept of browsing.
Yeah, it's fun.
Because sometimes it brings just stuff out of the blue that you would never have thought of.
Mm-hmm.
Like in the library, for example, sometimes I'll just walk down an aisle, not knowing where I am, and just reach and pick out a book at random.
Really?
Yeah. And sometimes it's like, oh, man, I'm never going to read that. I do try to read it, but
like give it a few
sometimes
pages.
It's like, oh, jeez. Yeah.
There's also
that's something that Kubrick did, and I sort of, that's where I was inspired to do that.
Okay. Stanley?
Yeah.
Well...
So
there's an energy thing with Guitar Center and why it sucks. There's a vibe problem because musicians aren't trying to nickel and dime each other to the death. We're really mostly trying to set up shows.
But also musicians don't have money. They're notoriously poor folk.
Yeah. Unless they're old and don't do music professionally. If they do something else professionally.
Right.
Like eventually they get the full Gretsch. $40,000 drum kit or the Mesa Boogie, blah, blah, blah.
TD-50.
Well,
so
sometimes you're lucky.
There is an energy thing. Were we going to say more on that?
Well, just that if we're going to use our empathy and imagination to try to improve Guitar Center, I mean, the vibe is so important.
Yeah.
It's the wrong vibe.
Too monumental and...
Well, I generally have an angst towards capitalistic malarkey or a sensitivity to it. And so when you go to, I need musical instruments. Obviously, I'm a musician, multi-instrumentalist, play lots of things. And there's just cables you need all the time. You need different cables and plugs. And what's really weird is Guitar Center won't work on guitar amplifiers.
Oh, like a service shop?
They'll fix any guitar or bass.
Yeah.
Anything there. But the amps, they're like, Well, maybe there might be a guy. We give you a phone number, maybe.
Yeah, I have a guy. It's good to have a guy.
See, I don't have a guy.
Or gal,
either one.
For certain things. Car repair, got to have a guy.
Yeah. Or a girl.
Or a girl. I say guys, I mean the royal.
The royal guy.
The royal us, we, yeah. Guy, girl.
Person.
It's good to have a gal?
Gale.
Gay?
Guy
and gal.
Guile. Guile.
Guile.
Yeah. Need a guile.
For car repair, guitar repair, amp setups. Yeah, that's a good point. So you'd make the environment of Guitar Center more welcoming.
Yeah, you'd have to structurally change how people were compensated. And yes.
Mm.
Like, for example, you go to a restaurant where everyone is tipped, and so you're kind of, there's a little bit of malarkey as far as who gets sat into what section. Oh, they just got sat twice, and, you know, I haven't been sat in 20 minutes, and then that creates a certain vibe. But when you go to a restaurant,
excuse me,
that there's no tips, for example, there are other problems, but the whole team works together. So there's no more competition between servers because everyone's on the same team because they're all paid the same hourly rate, and there's not a competition for tables. In fact, it's sort of
reversed.
That's
a living wage.
Right, that's the argument, but it isn't really a living wage at those right. places. So that's sort of the struggle. And some places are reverting back. Like, for example, our old stomping ground, Lane Splitters, has gone back to tips.
I noticed that.
Because too many people did not like the service.
Yeah, I think they said that customer complaints caused them to revert back to the old system.
Yeah, and so you have...
But the receipt still says living wage pizza at the bottom.
Why change the printer machine?
Right.
So that it's not the case.
Yeah, because setting up technology is super easy. We know that for a fact because we set up this podcast for about 3 hours.
Yeah, every time.
And got
inched
a little bit closer to...
These
seem to be working,
Is this here? What's this?
We're making progress, guys.
Is there a thumbs up right there?
Yeah.
Can I thumb
a little bit lower?
There it is. Yeah. Thumbs up. Okay. And then you right here. You're not in this shot.
No, there we go. Switch to you.
Can you come in here? Is this
It would be cool if it showed you what camera was active.
It does. It has a little live. Take it off that one. Move a different one. See?
Oh yeah.
It does do it.
Huh. I wish I had new technology. I'm not really savvy.
Yeah. Too bad.
Too bad.
So, okay. Yeah, so I would change the vibe. The tipping thing, if you were to somehow coagulate that into a Guitar Center environment where folks weren't in competition for the 2% commish, but maybe instead were wanting to help people find what they really needed.
Yeah, like co-op or something
Ripping it.
You could give lessons, and then if you give lessons, you get credits, or if you work there, you get like time credit.
Oh, shit.
Something.
Well, they have this set up there with the multiple studios. You could bring the instruments, any instrument into the multiple studios, and you mean that's.
Yeah, that seems.
They have the infrastructure for something cool.
They do. Like you could just grab any bass and then go to your reserve studio time
and
use it.
Record and whatever.
Yeah, see, why don't they do that?
Because they're not into that.
Extra $5. And you just choose any guitar and use it.
Yeah. Sounds great to me. Any cymbal. Let me grab a few cymbals.
That's like a no-brainer. They would totally win on that.
Yeah.
Jeez. That's a great idea, Aubrey. Thank you.
Congratulations. Huh.
So that's pretty cool. That's a way to use our imagination.
I think that's good. Ooh,
imagination.
Thank you for using your imagination, Drew.
I just thought of something.
Cool.
What if we grabbed the headphones and put it around the phone? Because this isn't working. Because the audio doesn't pop up when we play things.
Are you sure?
Yeah, do it again.
It's there.
Is it working?
It's there. It's just a little delayed. But I think next time, I think you're right.
Okay.
So we can just return that iRig, right?
I guess.
To Guitar Center.
Like we did with your brother with the headphones, right?
Yeah, but I mean, that means I have to return that.
You get
it means
to
I have
return.
To. I have to struggle through return, going back to Guitar Center.
Oh man!
Abandon all hope, ye who enter here.
You need so many cables,
man. All right, cool. So that was Guitar Center. That was something that was bugging me.
Okay, cool. Good
just
job.
Because it was so unpleasant, you know.
Yeah.
So what else we got?
Okay, we got some more topics. Ready for another topic?
Ready.
Okay, so let me jump into something I wrote. It's shorter. It's the letter to Hopsy, basically advocating for myself. And so this is like not, I mean, this is me sharing, a personal way I'm trying to describe what I think I would be good at for this company. And if our listeners find some joy or they realize they're good at something that they didn't think about, or then I win. And you know, it's nothing really secret in here. It's just sort of like an interesting way to put down trying to solve this problem. Solve the problem of money. Man.
Yeah.
So here we go. Skills for Hopsy. Title: Things I Can Do for Hopsy.
Okay.
I'm very excited to be experiencing Hopsy's growth from the inside, the products, the people, all of it. The goal of this letter is to describe some of my valuable skills to the leadership at Hopsy.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to generate more revenue for Hopsy and in turn earn a commensurate salary. Having had success representing the company to so many others, I would love to do this in a larger way. Brand ambassador has me written all over it.
Mm.
Whether working with customers or new breweries, speaking about Hopsy to newfound markets would be a great use of my skills as a communicator and salesman. Going to small breweries not yet represented by Hopsy to determine the quality of their beer and then get them on board with our machinery and network would be a great use of my skill set and a profitable use of my time. As I've mentioned, I think I would be very helpful managing your corporate representative department. In addition to continuing to drive roots, I could set up a training program for all representatives so that they have a clear understanding of Hopsy's goals, the basic beer knowledge necessary to properly represent the company, and clarity on how to promote a welcoming party atmosphere at our events. I can establish a direct feedback loop, allowing Hopsy an inside look at how the brand is experienced by customers. I would do this by creating a questionnaire for the reps to fill out after every event to discern what went well, what can be improved upon. This kind of data would be invaluable to Hopsy so that we could reduce waste and become more appealing to more groups.
Hmm.
On the topic of corporate representative department, while working corporate events, I have frequently experienced people asking me if we would do tastings at their private events. I can see how Hopsy advertising at event spaces for weddings, parties, reunions, etc., as mobile beer tenders. We could potentially bring Torps as well, another opportunity to sell our brand and products. I think this is an untapped stream of advertising and revenue, and I could lead that program today. I understand that Hopsy is in a growing phase, and that it might be premature for a full-time position as brand ambassador or corporate representative manager. There are a number of projects I feel I could take on in tandem with that growing role. For example, there are multiple areas of our new space that could be improved upon. I am excellent at turning empty or cluttered space into efficient work space that meets users' needs. I use this skill to run my own outdoor organizing garden design business. As I built my business by word of mouth, I modified my brand and services to fit my customers' real needs. What I provided went from landscaping to professional organizing to life coaching as we got to the roots of the issues. I'm mechanically inclined and have serviced and maintained a 60-foot 1969 mahogany yacht, a restaurant, and dozens of hot tubs. I have the knowledge and experience to MacGyver situations while planning a long-term solution to follow when possible. One of the reasons I think it would be valuable to get involved with warehouse reorganization is because I can already see the perfect spot in the warehouse for the public to be drinking Hopsy's beer. I have experience with the licensing process and I'm capable of bureaucratic footwork to see what's possible, whether it be a tasting room, happy hour, or event space to get people paying by the glass for our beer. I'm also very interested in helping get Hopsy's vlog set up. I'm a regular audience member of Beersmith, a show that has both brewers and brewing design companies on, as well as homebrewing info. I also watch a variety of YouTube channels about beer. I am extremely educated on current homebrew technology scaling to nano breweries. I myself have a podcast, empathyandimagination.com, and a show, by Quarter Warriors. And I'm very practiced at content creation and editing. Also, as a musician, I can help craft and record music intros and outros to Hopsy's vlog. I feel jingles. I'm a major asset to your vlog project and plans. Ultimately, my desire is to build on my already existing management skills with Hopsy. Managing a team comes naturally to me. I've been in a leadership role at nearly every place I've worked, as well as in my volunteerism. I'm good at carefully crafting clear and precise language on sensitive or important topics. I'm great at coming up with ideas in meetings when I'm working with others to find a solution. I easily toggle between leading the conversation and acquiescing to another's lead. Also, conflict resolution is a duty I've been entrusted with and have thrived at in many of my previous jobs. I'm an excellent listener and know how to hear through even the most upset employee, or customer for that matter, to what their unmet needs are and how to get them met. I would like to acknowledge you for allowing me this opportunity. I'm very grateful. Thank you, Drew Clark.
Nice, I like it.
Yeah, well, you got any, what do you think? What else you got?
Well, I like it. No, no glaring solecisms or grammatical errors, which makes me happy.
I definitely had a lot of help.
Otherwise,
it just would have been question marks everywhere. Just, I don't know.
Okay. I have a few things. First of all, there's a lot of things there.
Oh yeah,
there's a lot of things listed.
Mm-hmm.
Pass me the opener.
Sir,
thank you.
Beer it up.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'll do a shoot.
Okay, cool. You're shooting it.
A lot of stuff there. Do you think there's too much stuff? I mean, it's too late, but...
No, I sent it. You know, the thing is
there's a lot of, like, options.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's good to give them a lot of options.
Mm-hmm.
It's also good to say, this is what I want to do.
I thought about adding less things.
Yeah. Adding less things. I like that.
Yeah.
What about adding subtracting things?
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise known as subtraction.
I thought about that.
Yeah.
The thing is, I really realized that I would rather them know and be overwhelmed.
All your stuff.
I'd rather them know that I want to help with the vlog and that I could make the tasting room and that I could train the corporate reps,
mm-hmm.
so that maybe they could have more options. And the thing is, if they don't...
Throw it all out there and see what sticks.
Throw it all out there, see what sticks. And if nothing sticks, I got to move on.
Right.
I got to move on.
I mean, you gave it your all. You told them everything that you do.
That's my feeling.
So, Paul, the torp is in their court.
The torp is in their court.
So that was another question. What's a torp?
Okay, a torp is this proprietary thing. Actually, it's really cool. I have one inside. Maybe next episode we'll actually bring it out and use it.
It's a proprietary thing? Okay.
Yeah, so Hopsy fills these 2-liter bottles. They look like soda bottles with a little tube on the end and a little connector. And so they have this countertop keg service thing. So what it is you slide this bottle in, and then you have a draft system at home of whatever small craft brewery beer will deliver to you all these different beers in this form. So you can just have 1 ounce or 15 ounces or whatever, and it stays fresh and cold.
Hmm. Cool.
So, yeah, it's a
torp. Is it their invention?
Yeah.
That's their word, torp?
Yeah.
Like torpedo?
Yeah, something like that. Huh. I'm picturing...
Cool. So they... Go ahead.
I'm picturing we go to weddings, right? There's some wedding or something, and they go, we want a bunch of local craft beer, right?
I'm going to a wedding soon.
I know. I hope so. So imagine
see you there.
You could have this. Yeah, see you there. We have this service where you could have a bunch of local craft beers and a person who's knowledgeable just basically guiding a tasting for your whole group.
So right now, Hopsy is just corporate events?
Yeah, there's been some talk about other kinds of events, but they're too busy.
That's where the money is.
Solving other problems.
Startups.
About the company. Yeah. Startup issues. They don't have enough cables.
Startup perks.
Yeah.
Very skeptical of startup perks. It's like, yeah, we have organic cayenne pepper cashews every day. Come work for us. It's like, well, what about the culture? What about the job?
Mm-hmm.
Is that going to be cool or is it going to be shitty? So if they do private stuff, I mean, that's weddings seems like a good thing.
Family reunions, weddings, birthday parties.
People want to get decadent with their weddings. That's where you hit them.
Mm-hmm. That's where you hit them.
That's where you hit them.
That's where you suck them right
that's
in the mouth.
That's where you gouge them.
Yeah.
They're willing
All the stabbing happens there.
They're willing to spend a lot of money, so it's good to be somehow affiliated with weddings.
And right? Wedding venues and wedding organizers.
Catering. Yep. Well, it's a killing. It's a great industry.
So I want to set that
swarmed.
Up.
It's swarmed.
Yeah. But nothing like what
but
we have.
But if you can get in with something unique, hell yeah.
Multiple breweries and an expert on site, on location, anywhere.
Yeah. Right.
In California? Yeah.
Right. I like the vlog help.
They already talked about that they're going to start a beer vlog, and I was like, bing.
Yeah.
I have experience.
Yeah.
Some experience here. Hey.
Yeah, man.
You.
You have you have an audio engineer.
Yeah.
I could definitely, that would be fun to help out on that.
How cool would that be if I could get you on board making that? You know what I mean?
Yeah, that'd be fucking awesome, dude.
So basically, I'm swinging for the fences here with this letter. Yeah. And I want to shit or get off the pot, either move up or move on.
Uh-huh.
Because I have more talent than they're using.
Do you have a time limit?
A
due date?
Well,
deadline?
Check this. Tomorrow, one of the perks you mentioned.
Tomorrow, Sunday.
Tomorrow,
yeah.
Sunday. The first real, well, actually second real perk. First real perk is they gave me the machine. That was free.
The torper?
Yeah. They hooked up the free torp. Thanks, Hopsy. And the second thing is we have a booze cruise. They're taking us on a beer brunch boat. 3 B's. All the underlings who have been making the company work.
Yeah.
We all get to go.
That's cool.
So we're all going to go, and they're going to feed and drink us.
Booze
on
cruise
a boat.
Is cool.
Yeah.
Take an Uber home. Done.
Yeah. So that's basically the deal. And we're probably going to not talk about the letter I sent. Is the hope.
Right. Otherwise known as talking about it.
Otherwise known as a subtle subtraction positive. No, the thing is that we'll probably talk about it with some. I already talked to the owners regularly. I mean, they're very, very available, which
that's
is
cool.
Not normal. I'm not used to that.
That's abnormal.
And there's more than half of the OG members are metalheads.
Huh.
So.
Seems like a perfect fit. What about my last thing there was project management?
Yes. That. Yeah.
Because you've already been a manager. You could easily manage, whatever,
mm-hmm.
decor renovations or
setting. Imagine
teams
if we could set
whatever.
Up a public tasting room at the new warehouse in Richmond. I could set that up.
Right.
It would be great. And I could manage people. I mean, I think one of the things I said at the very end to sort of tie it all back together was that I wanted to build on my skills as a manager and to be able to have them benefit from my already lots of experience in that world.
Right.
So that's kind of the tie-in from all the other skills.
You want value wins all around. 360 win?
360 win. Sure. Why not?
You learn skills. You help them. Everybody wins.
Yeah. They get more money. I get some money.
And a torp and a beer.
Yeah, maybe just send me beer every week. Don't even ask me. Just send it. I'll drink it. What are you kidding me?
When in doubt, just send beer.
Just mail me beer.
Cool. You sent that off like yesterday?
This morning. I just sent it off a few hours ago.
Nice.
Yeah, I gotta take action. I'm taking action.
I like it.
I like it. Yeah, thank you for listening, everybody. Thanks, Aubrey, for your thoughts, and those are good thoughts. Yeah, freaking A.
Yeah. What else we got? We had some topics from last week that we didn't.
We've got a few more topics to go over.
Drones was one of them.
Did we last week? We did drones
from last week. Yeah.
But it was. Well,
the lost episode.
Okay, we may post that only for the Patreon. Where am I?
It's a wide shot.
So Patreon, maybe we'll give you this lost episode. You know, it might be some secret juicy stuff for your commute home. All right. So yeah, we have some lost topics. I think it'd be cool to graze over, and then I've got some other stuff too if there's time. Namely, drones and free speech recap.
Free speech recap.
Those two things, I think.
Free speech under threat right now.
What'd you call it? Free speech is alive and fragile?
It's alive and fragile.
Yeah.
It is under threat, my friends.
So go to our Go to our YouTube channel and check out the live stream we did for the Berkeley free speech rally.
Yeah, I think it was called Patriots Rally. It was originally booked as a Trump rally, and then Antifa decided to show up earlier than the Trump people and disrupt. That was that's how it went down. And there's been a lot of back and forth online about it, and we were there on the ground.
We interviewed both sides.
Ground zero.
Yeah, we were at ground zero. There was a lot of explosions in the live stream, so if you have, like, nervous pets, just, you know, turn up the volume a lot.
M80s, too. Those will take your fucking hand off. That's the thing.
Yeah, they could blast your skin apart.
They weren't flashbangs. Those were M80s.
You could feel it in your chest, sort of, when they went off, and it was more than 10.
So a lot of back and forth online about that.
There was a swarm. You could sort of see the swarm of, I guess you'd call it the anti-Trump protesters.
Yeah, the Antifa. Anti-fascists.
Oh, that's good. I mean, fascism sucks. So I'm
so-called.
I'm for non-fascism. I am for that.
Using violence to promote anti-fascism is like a moronic thing.
Well, it's backwards. It's also it's silly.
Again, it's the topsy-turvy world that we live in. The anti-fascists are using violence to suppress free speech.
Which is super stupid.
The world is upside down, man. Everything's inverted. Which is stupid. And, you know, I try to use empathy, but sometimes empathy is not the right response.
Yeah, it's not always empathy can get you burnt. If you try to, like, have empathy with the dragon while it's shooting flame at you.
Right.
Maybe run away at that point. Yeah.
Exactly. You have to be, there has to be empathy tempered with fairness. What's fair?
I think empathy tempers against integrity because it's still personal.
Yeah.
Like for me, it's like empathy and integrity. Sort of like the barrier, my personal barriers are integral. And so that sort of to me is a way of harmonizing, empathizing with others and having walls where they need to be. And those are in harmony, or hopefully more and more in harmony.
Because it seems like Antifa could have more empathy for the Trump people.
You think so? I think so too.
Like they could be like, well, they're just saying words that I don't like. Right. And that's the reason we have free speech, is so that we don't have to resort to violence. We can just argue.
So when speech escalates and escalates and escalates, and then people go, well, fuck you, and they attack. I mean, that's when free speech fails.
Yeah. The moment you use physical violence, then you fucked up. You should be able to say fuck you. 1 inch from another person's face. And they should be able, you know, you should be able to get into a shouting match and disagree. It's no big deal.
What if you could be spitting in the face, shouting, running amok?
Well, spitting then, might be considered assault.
I mean, well, but when I'm excited, unintentional, sometimes spittle.
Unintentional spitting. Yeah.
Like, I'm sure. I've gotten excited at this thing.
Soaked.
And it's been spittled up. But what if... if there was a little spittle permitted, right? Uh-huh. And then that you wouldn't be totally lost. I have a larger point there, but I might need some help getting coaxed into it.
Well, it's hard to control the camera and stay on topic.
Yeah, but I'm working on it. We're getting it. We're getting it.
We're getting better at it.
Yeah. So we got four cameras today.
So I'm just saying, you know, empathy, it cuts both ways. You have to have empathy for yourself.
Oh, careful.
Whoop. Hello? Check. Yeah,
there it is. There she is.
You have to have empathy for...
Yeah, it has to go for both ways. Side. Internal,
you can't
external.
Just be like, oh, well, the dragon, you know, is really...
Hungry.
It's a really lonely,
so,
hungry.
It's really hungry dragon, so I guess it'll let it eat me.
You got to say, well, what's fair? It's not really fair that the dragon is coming in and destroying the town and burning everybody and capturing virgins. He's a reptile. What's he even going to do with a virgin? Right? What's he going to do with the princess? What can he possibly do? I mean, he's kind of a weirdo, right?
Definitely a weirdo. Okay, so...
Yeah.
So free.
So we were there.
Yeah.
We
free speech recap. What else can we say about the mood of the space, and when we apply imagination, not just empathy, what do we get?
Well, one can imagine a world where this shit just keeps going on and on, and it seems like it would lead to civil war. If
yeah.
There's just constant like.
Yeah.
Constant. Oh, you're Hitler. Hey, no, I'm not Hitler. Stop fighting me. Stop using violence. And, you know, Antifa, they were the ones who, you know, punch a Nazi. They were down with punching Richard Spencer, right? And then they sort of got what was coming to them. So you can't, I mean, it's hard to, like, take this shit seriously because a lot of the anti-fascist movement just seems like a fashion.
Ironically, the word very similar.
Like a trend.
I have the opinion that people, less people are feeling as extreme as they were. I think the extreme feeling, like the sort of like social justice warrior.
Yeah.
What's racist, fascist, Donald Trump, KKK, racist, fascist, anti-gay.
Misogynist, bigot. Homophobic.
I do think that group is shrinking.
Yes.
The group of people who shout that, I think it's shrinking.
Because they realize that it's not actually true. Again, we brought this up on a previous episode. If you actually believed he was Hitler, like if I actually thought somebody was Hitler, I would probably die trying to kill that person.
Probably, yeah.
And so the wind has been taken out of their sails because they realize that, oh, yeah, he's actually not Hitler. And one by one, he's disproving all the allegations. Oh, he's Putin's puppet, and he does something in Syria, and it's like, oh.
Oh, well that wasn't for Putin,
I guess
was
he's
it?
Not Putin's
that
puppet.
That was anti-Putin, actually.
He's Hitler, and then he does this, and it's like, oh,
I'll give him that.
I guess he's not Hitler.
And
one by one, he's doing that, and it's very intentional. Mm. And he's a master persuader. Now, again.
Weirdly, but
know,
yes.
I don't know if he's going to be a good president or not.
We'll see.
But he is definitely smarter than a lot of people give him credit for. And he has a mega talent stack. And he's fucking very good at what he does. And so he's knocking back all the allegations one by one. And that's why this group is shrinking in power and in enthusiasm. Because it just doesn't hold water to say, oh, he's Hitler.
Yeah.
And, you know.
If you look, I can still say, I can hear some of our audience, I think. And they could say, like, okay,
oh,
well,
yeah,
if you look at misogyny, for example.
Grab him by the pussy. Totally.
Right, right.
Indefensible statement, a really stupid thing to say.
So, but maybe even slightly out of context. And I'll, for the benefit of the doubt, the devil's
right.
advocate's doubt, I'll go like, okay, I've never spoken like that to anybody. I don't speak about women that way ever. And I'm not
yeah,
every
but you're
man.
An exception, though.
I'm not every man. And so what I'm getting at is I've had many friends over the years who do. And I've overheard many things like that.
Right.
And I've been just as disgusted because it's just not my vibe. But I don't go around correcting. I it's not my job to solve every man's speech,
right?
You know, so it's like, okay, well, we just speak differently. So maybe,
and it's like, oh, he's
something there.
he said, there's something there, and it's kind of like, he's been in the public eye for so long, and there's one thing, one single thing that he said that was really stupid.
There's some rape allegations, and he cheated a lot, and I mean, so he doesn't do drugs,
doesn't drink,
doesn't smoke cigarettes, never puffed a J in his life, probably.
Right. Fine, all good.
Sex,
again,
sex is his thing.
Right,
he has sex with whatever he can.
Sex
it seems.
Is legal, but he's. Yeah. But
it seems like he has sex with adults, too.
He doesn't have tons of illegitimate children, though. My point is that he seems to be...
He has one illegitimate child.
He seems to mitigate risk like a fucking master. Right?
I don't know.
If you drink, if you smoke, you're increasing risk.
True.
And his whole career is that he's actually minimizing risk. And it's like... That's a pretty good trait for someone that's CEO of America. He's not president, he's CEO.
Yeah.
And he's doing the CEO thing where you come in, you kick the door down, you get a bunch of shit done, you impress people, and then you sort of settle into the job. That's what he's doing.
What about the Jeff Sessions thing, man? The Jeff Sessions thing that he brought on, and then he recused himself, and then apparently he was raging around the White House being angry that Jeff recused himself from the Russia investigation. And then Jeff Sessions was like, good people don't smoke pot. Those were his words.
Like Jeff Sessions said that?
That is not minimizing risk when
60%. Who said that?
Jeff Sessions.
Said good people don't smoke pot?
Correct. Those are his words.
Yeah, but that's not... Trump didn't say it.
Trump brought him on. Knowing that his strange feelings, and when 60% of the American population is for complete legalization of marijuana,
but you can't hold Trump responsible for someone else's opinions.
You can hold him responsible for putting him in such a powerful position, who has such a bass-ackwards view of reality.
I mean,
it's a bad team choice.
Yes, I guess
I'll say. If Trump is so great at minimizing risk, why have somebody who has a thing that is against 60% of what Americans believe? And clearly only for the profitable.
It doesn't add up.
Okay, what doesn't? Tell me.
I mean, Trump is minimizing risk for his own personal profile. That's what I mean when I say minimizing risk.
Okay.
He doesn't drink. Doesn't smoke because he's minimizing risk to his health. He's minimizing risks to his thinking. He's minimizing risks to his decision making. Now, Jeff Sessions is free to have an opinion that we don't agree with. That's fine.
Of course. I would argue he gets to keep his.
Maybe Trump didn't know about that opinion. I don't know. I actually don't. I think Trump defers to the states on all that shit.
He does, and
abortion,
which I applaud for.
Gay marriage,
yeah,
marijuana. He's just like, whatever. I think personally,
smaller government.
I think personally, he's against marijuana, all drugs. But he's not. If he were Hitler, he would disallow drugs, right? But he's not.
Right.
And
you can speak badly about him and not die.
He's right, and he's more like, well, that issue has been decided already. That's how he navigates that.
Yeah, and I think
I don't
know
much about Sessions. I mean, he recused himself because he had had conversations with Russia, so he felt that he was impartial. That's my understanding. Now it's so hard to know what's actually going on in the halls of power, right? Like
fuck? We don't know.
Even like the Syria, like who knows?
Oh,
who
I've been
really,
researching Syria.
Who really knows? Though, who knows the truth over there? Is a 7-year-old girl like speaking perfect English and has a book deal? Like, come on, give me a break, right?
Have you, I mean, speaking of the Freedom Rally and bringing this all around.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you seen the Assad interviews, both pre and post and pre and during war?
No, I haven't seen those.
So I've taken the time to take a look. And the Free Speech Rally probably includes this because you think about Trump defending Putin first, but then now, of course, is going like, whoa, 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 whoa. Chemical weapons against his people? No, we're going to fucking take jets and blast your airplanes into bits. Because you can't do that, dude. International
allegedly.
Law. Right. The international law thing, I don't really get.
Allegedly.
It's like New World Order stuff, right?
But it, again, Trump, in my opinion, and my opinion is shared by others who have predicted a lot of Trump's behavior. It's a tactical move to, one, disprove the allegation that Trump is Putin's puppet, which he did. Two is to get China in a position where they'll take care of North Korea,
gosh,
Korea
I hope
instead
so.
Of us, which he did. That's the thing with the Syria thing. Whatever you like, it's a total 360 win that Trump did there.
Interesting, interesting.
And it's like fucking mega statesmanship.
Well, if we can get China to take care of Kim Jong Un, I would be extremely
pleased. That's what they said. They blocked,
I think it's a maybe.
They blocked. That's already happening.
Hmm.
And that's. It's like, I don't know, man. I mean, again, I'm not in love with Trump. Or the jury is still out, but he's doing these things that seem like masterful plays on persuasion. Persuading people that he's not Hitler, persuading people that he's not Putin's puppet. He's just bam, 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 knocking them down.
He does not appear to be racist.
Not at all, man. He's got women. He has minorities in his cabinet. I mean, it just doesn't hold water.
Okay, so
it's kind of like America. Can we move on to like more important shit? There was a Democratic election. This guy won. You don't like it. So what? Yeah. That happens every election.
Yeah, every.
That's what happens every single election. Some people don't like who got elected, and it's usually pretty much split down the middle. So, let's move on. Let's get down to some healthcare. Let's get down to...
the budget.
Budget, healthcare, you know.
Infrastructure.
Immigration, that's a huge thing.
Yeah.
That's my advice for America. It's like,
get down to the real shit that matters at home.
Down to the real shit.
What do you think about...
There are checks and balances that we can't have a dictator. It's just not possible.
What do you think about kind of not being the... world police.
Yeah, I don't think we should be the world police.
Like the joke, Team America, world police, right?
Right.
So may I please request a... there it is. So we got a couple of beers today. I'm going to take a little side moment here just to mention.
Oh, yeah, let me get the camera on you. There we
Can
go.
We, this one?
Oh, that one?
Yeah, this
there
one.
We go.
So today we're having two types of beer. We would like to thank Deschutes Fresh Squeezed IPA and...
How about this one?
Oh, this guy? So yeah, we got this nice misty... Shoots fresh squeeze. And of course, we are also enjoying the Sierra Nevada Hop Hunter. So, craft beer. Awesome. Thank you. We're enjoying it. Drink some beer with us, please. And thank you. I love you. Okay. So,
cool. Thanks.
So, free speech, action. We interviewed both sides. I'd like to speak about and like to hear about what you thought about maybe interviewing both sides. The first interview of the Antifa's.
Did we interview?
We did.
I thought
the old.
I thought they were both Trumpers.
No, the suit. We found some gentlemen. That's
I got
a little
pee,
hard to
so
hear. Okay. Should we just? What do you want to do?
I got to pee. I'll be right back. But keep talking.
Okay.
Right
so back. I'll go. So there's. We interviewed both sides, and it came across difficult to hear the first team. You can go to our video on youtube.com/empathy and imagination. We found gentlemen wearing suits. Of course, we were dressed well, as we do. And, you know, it worked out that it was very, very difficult to hear them. Excuse my rambling. So maybe at some point we'll transcribe some of what the smaller, older gentleman said. But essentially, they're talking about wanting... The vibe I got was basically that they were wanting their communities to feel safe. That seemed to be the larger point they were expressing. And I think they had some concerns about how that might be put together. So we interviewed them, and they were polite and gentlemanly, and I was wearing my old Southwest Airlines jacket, so they were like, oh, you weren't one of those, you know, one of those guys who drags people off of planes. And I'm like, well, no. I did used to be a flight attendant. I was for a long time. And I mean, I still have the jacket. I'll probably put a cool patch over the Southwest thing. But like, I just wanted to look good. And I think looking good was sort of part of our shtick. Because we weren't like, you know, we didn't have masks over our faces. We weren't hiding who we were. We had the cameras were very visible. We were just dressed up nicely, trying to speak to people. And I think that actually helped us. So the second part of the group were very clear Trump supporters. And you could hear that audio a lot better. And we mostly spoke to this very sweet woman. I'm very grateful she took the time to speak to us. And she was from out of town, but she was with like this larger biker group. And they were there keeping peace because they were called the peacekeepers. Essentially, yep. Because biker family group were sort of under the impression the police weren't fully capable of keeping them safe.
The peacekeepers, the oath keepers were there. There were a couple groups there, mm-hmm. that were sort of more on the pro-Trump side.
Yeah. And
keeping the peace, of all things.
The
police were ordered to stand down. Did you see that video?
No, I haven't seen that. Should we pull it up? Pull it up.
Somebody pull it up.
We're almost there.
No, you can pull
We're going to pull it up soon.
You can pull up a video of a guy interviewing the Berkeley police. They're just sitting there, and he's like, why, there's a lot of, like, violence going on. Why are you guys just sort of standing around? And the cop is like, that would be a good question for the chief of police.
Oh, shit, really?
Yeah.
Ho!
Yep.
See, I doubt the cops suck as people as much as we think.
No.
I doubt it. No, I've had bad interactions with cops.
I think it's the mayor... Chief of police might have weird. They might be more on the side of the Antifa people, which to me is bizarre.
Oh, it smells good.
It's just bizarre, man. You want to be on the side that's nonviolent, not the side that's violent. The violent side is the liberal side right now.
Right now, which isn't always the case.
Usually. Again, we live in an upside-down world. Usually it's the rights that's violent. Nowadays, it's the left. The anti-fascists are the true fascists.
People switch all the time. I mean, parties switch, people swap. Like, you know, before the pink was manly and blue is feminine, and then the Republicans were the ones who freed the slaves. And it's like, you know, it doesn't really matter. It just sort of changes as it goes.
Yeah.
You know, hard to say. But the free speech rally was, I think, maybe the first of several events that will go as the podcast for Empathy and Imagination to get some live streaming coverage events where we can empathize and imagine with people and interview and get the feelings of people's hearts and minds as we move forward in this turbulent political time. Of course... There's this weird thing where Trump says he's going to make America great again. And one of the things to think about is, has he accidentally done so by ruffling so many feathers that so many more people are involved now? Mm. I would argue hundreds of thousands, if not millions of more people are involved now than before.
Right.
Which I think would be good. Because I trust those people.
And the election of Donald Trump was less about Donald Trump the man and more about a fuck you to the status quo.
The establishment. Deep
state. It wasn't so much like, wow, Trump's really handsome and intelligent.
Yeah, it was more handsome.
It was more like, man, the alternative just sucks, and we've been through so much of that.
Oh, of the Clintons?
And it's just business as usual with the same old fears and frustrations. And guess what? Most people didn't want that.
I didn't.
So.
Cut between a rock and a hard place.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's almost like... It's almost like Trump is proof that maybe there's going to be a third political party next election.
Historically speaking, usually in times like this, that is what comes up next.
Maybe the Libertarians will get a chance finally.
Green Party. I don't know.
I think Bernie. There was a lot of hope with Bernie, and he got thrown under the bus
by Clinton. And then she hired the DNC person that threw him out.
It's almost like Clinton has like shitty morals.
Almost.
Huh.
Yeah. I think a lot of people jumped off the boat there. I think people jumped from Bernie to Trump when Hillary hired the person who put Bernie under the bus to be her campaign person, and then Bernie was like, yeah, go Hillary.
Right. Right.
That was like integrity negative. That
Bernie kind of sold himself down the river too.
You know, because
he seemed to have a lot of integrity, but then as soon as there was another candidate and it was clear that he wasn't going to win, he was kind of like, her.
Because he thought she was better than him.
What a shit show. But yeah, it's good that, you know, it's good that people are involved in politics, I think. That's what we want. You just need to be informed and involved. Those are the things.
Involved. So I think now it's time for my
empathy and involvement.
Marijuana blessing. So I'm going to hold this up here and say thank you who wish to join me.
I don't see it live on that.
Oh, well, it is. We're working out. Yeah, you got it? Yeah. Hey, so thank you, everybody. Super just going to raise my hand up here. So just in a weird, more awkward position. There we go. Okay. So do we have anything else about the free speech rally and about our feelings about those political figures? And I mean, I might have one more thing related. Do you have anything?
You know, I would just encourage people to do their own research. Don't believe everything you hear, and that includes our opinions. You know, seek out a diverse panoply of opinions. You want to diversify your portfolio. Now, that's good financial advice. It's also good advice in terms of thoughts.
Ideas.
Go to the extreme left and the extreme right. Very unpalatable places. But just see what's out there. And do your own research. And, you know, there's some things that we may never know the truth of.
Well said. I like that.
But you gotta like a fan, you got to branch out like a delta. Each idea is a little rivulet in the delta.
We're talking about increasing complexity.
That's get out of the echo chamber. Happening.
Yeah. Think about searching things not in Google, not in Facebook. Think about searching things at Bing. Think about doing other searches. Think about
DuckDuckGo.
Walking down the street and meeting your neighbors.
Dun, dun,
what?
Dun.
What?
I would also encourage everybody to...
No.
Use your imagination.
Use your imagination.
It's funny that got cut off. I think it. I tried to make it fade out, but it just got cut off. It's funny.
Make sure, folks, use your imagination. Camera 3.
And there are limits to empathy. I think maybe we'll talk about that in an upcoming episode.
Okay.
Because,
cool.
I'm reading this book that sort of posits that.
Mm-hmm.
Arguing that empathy isn't the best. That rational compassion is better. We'll get there.
Okay, good. That's a great topic.
We don't have all the answers. This is a conversation, mm-hmm. not only between Drew and I, but between us and you. And, you know, for me personally, it's like if I never change my mind again, something's wrong. So... I'm always open to changing my mind, and I think people generally should. Wouldn't it be cool if people change their mind about something big every couple years?
Like an important topic?
Like
shift?
Something that you just, you thought was hallowed and sacred and could never, you know, you thought you knew the truth of it. And then you realize, oh, actually there's more to that story than I thought. Huh.
It's almost like if you had a check-in about your big beliefs.
Check-in.
Like annual check-in or
annual
seasonal
check-in.
I don't know. Whatever's like best for you or the topic.
I like that.
You like that?
Annual beliefs review.
Yeah. Because we all have beliefs. I, for a long time, thought I didn't have any. I do have beliefs.
Well, everyone has them.
Yeah, it's impossible not to have beliefs. I just minimize my wild ones if I can.
Yeah, if you think that human life is important, that's a belief, right?
Right.
It's not true.
Well, it's true to most humans, but not every human.
Most humans think that because it's in the best interest of the species to believe that. And it is a belief. So. You can't get away from belief, and that's why I think nihilism doesn't really exist.
Well, maybe
not believing in anything.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Because even not believing in anything, you're still believing in something. The negation of belief.
So I have a final point on the free speech thing, and then
please.
I think we're ready. So that is, there's a potential world where free speech itself could go too far. I actually think that there are scenarios one could paint to say, well, where perhaps free speech is not the best thing to do, not actually what is best for a situation. And I think that is fringy and gets in the
well,
edges
what would
too.
What would that world look like where
well,
free
see,
speech is out of control?
Well, I don't know about a world that would look like that, but for a couple
you
of
mean like hate
couple
speech?
Of things. Yeah, well, like hate speech is allowed, but more so like, okay, say you're somewhere. And you're doing your thing, and then there's, say you have a group of 20 people and you're doing a thing at a place. And then you've got a group of, say, just, I'm going to say 10 people, and they're all spattered around your circle of your 20 people. And they're, like, doing their free speech at you while you're trying to do your other thing.
Okay.
That would be interruptive.
Right.
So that's one example. Another example.
That goes back to freedom of assembly, too. Like, I should be able to get together with my friends who have stupid ideas and be able to talk about those stupid
ideas in peace.
You
should be stupid. Right. You should be able to be stupid in peace.
So, yes.
So free speech has its limit there. And then, that thought.
Yeah.
And then there's one more. What was it? It was like.
You should be free to be stupid.
Yeah.
That's a huge part of it.
Yeah, what was that? Perhaps that summarizes my thought generally well. There was another point there, but maybe we'll come back to it later. So, in essence, I think that there's ways that perhaps we could discuss in the future how empathy has its limits and how free speech might have its limits as well.
Yeah, I like that. I like the edge zone.
Edge
the margins.
Zones. Margins, yeah. Okay, cool.
The margin
great.
Walker.
Right.
Thanks, Fugazi. Cool.
Well, no, I got to go to the bathroom, so it's up to you.
Okay. It's up to me. Shit. Well, how about a word from my sponsor? What do you think?
50 flavors of mayonnaise, 50 years of experience. Final Corp. Finally, a corporation with only its best interests in mind.
Thanks again to our sponsor, Final Corp. 50 years of experience, 50 plus flavors of mayonnaise. I understand that they just added baby diaper poison sumac flavored ice cream mayonnaise to their catalog. Which I haven't tried yet, but it sounds absolutely delightful. So thanks again, Final Corp. And they have a book coming out soon, which we're all very excited about.
Is it in pre-edit?
It's in prelude.
It's in prelude mode right now.
50 flavors of mayonnaise, 50 years of experience.
Nice.
Thanks, Final Corp. Final Corp, it'll be fine.
And we're back.
Okay. So we're at like an hour and a half almost.
Holy shit.
I think you got more?
I have a sounds good.
You do have a sounds good.
Yeah.
Let's do that. Are you all hooked up and ready to go?
Ready?
Doing the best we can,
boss. Doing the best we can. Sounds good.
TD50, that sounds good. Give it to me. Drums are hot. Is that the drums Cool. Well, I would like to thank you, Drew.
Okay.
Are we good?
I think so.
Okay.
Oop. Like keep thanking me. I want to hear this.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Thanks, man, for sharing your truths.
Mm-hmm.
Sharing your sounds good. And thanks, everybody, for listening, watching, and checking us out on iTunes, Empathy and Imagination. Also, supporting us on Patreon. Without you, we couldn't do this. Patreon.com/empathy and imagination. See you next time.
Thank you so much, everybody. I'd like to acknowledge you for taking the time out of your day, your traffic route, to listen to the podcast for Empathy and Imagination. My name is Drew Clark.
My name is Aubrey.
We will see you next time, very soon, from Gradient Studios.
Hey, I just wanted to say that I really appreciate you guys doing the show, and I just really like the content. And listening to you guys, I just kind of feel like part of the solutions are already in place, and that we're just on a good path. So I just appreciate it. And, hey, what were you gonna say?
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah, cool.